This is ESPN Radio.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world.
Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow.
It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love.
Live. Fight like hell.
Make your mess your message. Find the meaning behind whatever it is that you're going through, because everybody's got something.
I will never give up. And I will never give in.
You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Kanny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Kanny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And today is Giving Tuesday. It's a day when people across the country give back to support the organizations that mean the most to them in their communities. If you're able to join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research, you can give by going to v.org/donate now. And Gojo, this is a cause that's near and dear to both of our hearts. Of course, we know so many people in the ESPN family that have battled cancer and what the V Foundation has meant to them, not only from an inspirational standpoint, but also in terms of the work that the V Foundation actually does when it comes to cancer research. And so this is something that we both encourage everybody that listens to us, encourage everybody that supports us to go support the V Foundation for all of the great work that they actually do.
Yep, v.org/donate is where we're going to send you all day. We make no bones about it. This is about money, because I don't know about you, Chris, unless something's changed, you and I aren't doctors. We're not going to be doctors anytime soon, and most of the people listening are not. And so if you can't go out there and fight that battle against cancer in the labs, doing the research and the things that are going to lead to cures and drugs and the things that can help this fight, what we can provide is our time and our money. And this is a day where we start to do just that. This is a week where we start to do just that. And so that is the important stuff. We will talk to plenty of people. Bob Valvano going to join us in a little bit, the brother of the late Jim Valvano, who is the inspiration for all of this and has launched the research that will help so many people. So we have got a lot more of that coming up throughout the day that we will keep you abreast of here. Canty and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. And Chris, as we do the normal sports show in the midst of all of this, Monday Night Football did happen last night. There is no running from it, as ugly as a game as it was to watch. I think I looked up and saw the halftime score was 9-9 and said, yeah, that's about right, as Kevin Clark over at The Ringer said. The Seahawks have never, ever played a normal game in the history of the franchise. And so they take the L to the Washington Football Team last night. And Chris, if it wasn't already written in pen, I have busted out the Sharpie to signal the end of Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll's tenure in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first three-game losing streak of Russell Wilson's career, and last night marked the eighth loss for the Seahawks on the season, which is essentially putting Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll on the verge of having their first losing season together as a tandem. So, yeah, I think this marks the end of the Russell Wilson era in Seattle. I mean, when you look at the roster, it's probably the least talented roster that Russell Wilson has had since he's been a Seahawk. And as far as being able to add additional pieces to this team, I don't necessarily see the Seahawks being able to go out and get Russell Wilson a whole lot of help in the future. I mean, they have six draft picks, excluding compensatory draft picks, going into 2022's draft. They don't have their first-round draft pick. That belongs to the Jets because of the Jamal Adams trade, which seems like it's the gift that keeps on giving. So when you look at the team and them being on the wrong side of age in terms of the average age for NFL rosters, them being on the older side of it, it doesn't necessarily feel like the Seahawks are going to be able to retool this thing quickly enough around Russell to take advantage of him being in the prime of his career. So it just seems like all of the things that we've heard the past couple of off seasons, all of the issues that Russ has had with the organization not doing enough to support him, are just going to continue to be highlighted to the point where it feels like the door is wide open for Russell Wilson to walk out of it. And the Seahawks at this point feel like an organization that needs to push the reset button, which is why I wouldn't be surprised that if, in fact, they do move off of Russell Wilson, who eventually will be a Hall of Fame quarterback, they should probably move off of the oldest NFL head coach in Pete Carroll as well. It just seems like there's a natural opportunity to transition because this team is not going to be any good, any better shape in the short term if you decide to keep Russ. It feels like the way to jumpstart the rebuild is to bring over a bevy of picks for Russell Wilson and allow him to walk out of the door. Because right now, even with Russell Wilson, you're still one of the five worst teams in the National Football League.
Yeah, and Chris, it gets even tougher than that because you mentioned get a bevy of picks back. It's about what they have done with the picks as of late. And it's been a whole lot of healthy scratches for high-level picks, guys that are no longer in those uniforms, picks used on safeties at less premium positions like Jamal Adams. Like, at some point, I think everyone involved is culpable in this, right? Russell Wilson, we know, has been injured now, but has not looked great in his last swell of games. We know Pete Carroll has certainly philosophically failed this football team as the transition towards a much more wide-open game has taken place in the sport. And hell, you got to look at the front office at some point and say, yeah, Russell Wilson's contract is certainly a part of this, but them missing frequently on draft picks has become way too much a part of this story.
No question about it, especially draft picks along the offensive and defensive lines. And those are areas where this team continues to struggle because they don't have any pass rush to speak of. Their best pass rusher is a safety in Jamal Adams. And then on the offensive line, you really don't have any guys that you feel comfortable with as building block pieces to be able to fortify that front in front of your quarterback. So, yeah, there's a lot of issues that are going on. A lot of it's systemic, and it falls at the feet of Pete Carroll and John Schneider, and it gives credence to the complaints that Russell Wilson has had in recent off-seasons about the direction of the franchise, which is why I think you're going to start to hear the volume on this conversation get turned up and more speculation about where Russell Wilson can potentially land, the different destinations that make the most sense in terms of giving him an opportunity to enhance his legacy, Mike, because we know Russell Wilson is one of the handful of quarterbacks that is consumed with being in the conversation of the greatest of all time. Like, he wants to be in that conversation. He wants to be in that GOAT talk when you start talking about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees, those guys. In that era of football, he wants to be included in that conversation. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen in Seattle based on what they have around him, the supporting cast. So he's going to have to go elsewhere. And I think that's what has to be at the forefront when we diagnose what places would be the best landing spot for Russ this offseason.
Yeah, and you're right. Someone's going to take a chance on Russ because he's comparatively the younger one in this entire organization and system in Seattle. So he's going to get another shot. The talent's been there, but it has not been apparent as of late here, Chris. And that's the difficult part to gauge in all of this. But I think you're right. This is getting ready to shutter and shut this thing down. Too much has gone wrong. Too much to change right now. And so for Pete Carroll and company here the rest of this season, it's going to kind of be this constant foil against what we saw in Green Bay, right? Both were in similar positions this offseason. Quarterbacks that seemed publicly, if not just privately, miffed with the way that their organizations had gone about business. We saw the Packers go out and concede in some areas, bring in some veterans like Randall Cobb that Aaron Rodgers had been asking for. Whether we agreed with it or not, certainly covering for him during the entire saga surrounding his vaccination status that we went through a few weeks ago. And now ultimately Aaron Rodgers getting back on the field and still being that dude. Every spot where Green Bay, Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, and that front office have succeeded has been the exact spot that Seattle failed in a very similar situation, and that is going to land them with a whole lot of tough questions to answer as we get to January here in this upcoming year. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Coming up next, though, lots going on in the world of college football. We'll dip a toe back into those waters and try and figure out if Justin Herbert and the Chargers can get things figured out before the season's end. Next on ESPN Radio.
To those of you out there who are suffering from cancer, facing adversity, I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And right now, we're going to bring on ESPN reporter Shelly Smith. And Shelly, before we get to what's going on with USC football and their recent hire with Lincoln Riley, today is Giving Tuesday, and around ESPN, across all platforms, we've been encouraging folks to donate to the V Foundation for the work that they do with cancer research. And as a cancer survivor, I wanted to ask you, what does the V Foundation mean to you, and what message do you have for people that are considering donating to the V Foundation?
They saved me. They saved my life. They were understanding and caring, and they called me, and it wasn't just about giving. It was about them doing something for me that I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was up against, and I had no idea. And they provided information and support, and I just can't thank them enough for everything they did for me outside of the giving stuff, you know. And I give now when I can, and I encourage everyone. I mean, it's just, when you're diagnosed with cancer, you freak out. You absolutely freak out. And they kept me from freaking out, because my mom was in hospice and my dad wasn't well, and there was nobody really to talk to except for them. They were so awesome. So please, if you can only give a dollar or 50 cents, please just give what you can to the V Foundation, because they really do help, not just with the money, but with caring.
And could not have said that better. And again, every bit counts. V.org/donate is where 100% of everything that you donate can go towards cancer research. And we certainly always appreciate you sharing that with us, Shelly. It's great to catch up with you. And listen, we have a number of things that certainly we need to catch up with you on in the world of sports as well. Listen, being out where you are in Southern California, before all this Notre Dame stuff happened, was kind of the center of the college football universe. Lincoln, yeah. Riley bolts from Oklahoma to USC here. How surprised were people around Southern California by this, Shelly, that USC was able to pull off a move like this?
Everybody was stunned, absolutely stunned. Nobody thought it would happen. Everyone was expecting another Pete Carroll family tree, whatever. And all I could say was they must have thrown a lot of money at him. And I guess they did. It's a private school, so we'll never really know. But I listened to him on the radio today, and I don't spend a lot of time. I listen to you guys on the radio. But him saying that the situation was just correct. It was just right. See ya. Thanks, Austin. That's Austin Eckler. Sorry, he just was just at a fundraiser, Giving Tuesday. He installed. Let me digress for a minute. A washer and dryer at this middle school in Watts. That's where I am right now. And he took time out of his day. It's Tuesday, his day off, but he did that because these kids don't want to go to school with dirty clothes on, and you can understand it. And it was so inspirational. But anyway, Lincoln Riley stunned the entire city. I think nobody thought he would take the job. Nobody even put him on a list. Of who, I mean, I think Snoop Dogg was on the list, but I don't think they ever really talked to him. But it just re-energized the city, and now everyone's talking about USC again. And I heard Colin Cowherd say he's a USC fan and he's not apologizing. And it really has re-energized the city, because USC used to rule this city, and it was so much fun when Pete Carroll was in charge. And now we're expecting it again. So Lincoln, you better, you know, have your ducks in a row, because they're not going to wait very long before they start booing, because everyone expects a lot from this coach.
Shelly, you just brought up Austin Eckler, obviously a member of the Los Angeles Chargers. And I wanted to ask you about them, because they're coming off of a disappointing loss out in Denver and in Power Field. And this is a team that has lost four of their last six games. So what is the state of the union when it comes to the Chargers? And what exactly are they? Because they feel like a team that's clinging to their playoff lives right now in the AFC.
Well, they are. And Austin is one of the most positive people I know. And for him to come out and do this today on his day off was something. And it's really providing a great service to the school. But, yeah, they are clinging to their playoff lives. And they win a game, they're really good, and then they're terrible. And then they're really good again, and then they're terrible. I don't know how that happens. You guys who have played, maybe you know. And I said, maybe it's Maybe it's what they ate that week, or what, or how they, you know, Austin will say it's how they practice, and they don't know how to carry it over, the winning over to practice, and they have to go back to practice tomorrow, and they have to get over this loss quickly because they go to Cincinnati, and that's not an easy trip. You know, you think Cincinnati, middle of the country. No, it's not. It's like on the East Coast. It's horrible. No, it's not a horrible place, but it's a horrible flight. But they are, he is extremely positive, and he's the one who brought it up in his press conference saying, I don't know what to think because I keep hoping that it'll carry over to practice, but so far it's not working. So I don't know what they're going to do tomorrow.
Shelley, one of the big stories of this season for the Chargers has been their head coach. Brandon Staley came over and has said a lot of the right things and been, I think, a real positive source for a lot of people. What's his development looked like as this season's gone on, though, in his first year as a head coach?
Well, he continues to say the right things, and he continues to praise even the worst performances possible. He said, oh, no, the rest defense was much improved today. Well, it's not. It's still, I think they still rank last, and I mean, to his credit, they have had a lot of injuries, a lot of COVID issues. They've been bringing guys in basically off the street to play defensive line and offensive line, and it's been really tough. And there's no second running back. Austin's it. You know, it's not Justin Jackson. It's not, you know, guys who are we expected to step up and become that second running back. Nor is there a third wide receiver. There's Mike Williams and there's Keenan Allen. And so they need to develop guys. And I don't know that Brandon's had enough time to develop the guys he wants. And he's had a lot of injuries. But he continues to say the right things, which is important. And he continues to praise and not beat people down because it'd be so easy to get beaten down right now. And he does say the right things. So I give him credit for that.
Awesome stuff, as always, Shelley. Listen, it's not an easy process installing all that on the fly, and certainly with a quarterback right. Everyone's got hope in and a coordinator that people had a lot of hope in, but that is a young core with what we'd still imagine is a bright future. We appreciate you giving us some time, as always, Shelley, being out there.
Thanks,
with
guys.
Austin and company here. Always so great, and hopefully we get to talk to you again soon.
Thanks for talking about the B Foundation, too. I always will talk about that.
Absolutely. We appreciate you. Shelley
right,
Smith,
take care.
Our ESPN reporter, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear hotline. Again, v.org/donate is where you can go for it. And Chris, hers just another testimony and reminder of the importance of all aspects of this, not even just the financial portion, but that emotional support that comes with this as well.
No doubt about it, because as you heard from her, she felt like her life was over, and it was the people at the V Foundation that helped give her hope that there will be a brighter day and that she could actually get on the other side of this and get back to doing what she loves to do and her passion for sports. So it's important that they have support in all aspects of it, not just with the medical, but with the mental and emotional as well. That's a big part of it in terms of being a cancer survivor. So just want to encourage folks to go out there and give what you can to the V Foundation, because they do some really awesome work. And they affect a lot of people's lives for the positive. So can't say enough about the people that are involved in that organization and how they impact us and how they inspire us in terms of some of the stories that we hear about cancer survivors.
Absolutely. So again, thanks to Shelley. We'll talk to Bob Valvano later in the show as well, the brother of the late Jim Valvano here, as we keep rolling along on Giving Tuesday. But coming up next, Tuesday around Canty and Golic Jr. also means it's time to look back at the NFL weekend that was. We got Week 12's top five, bottom five, coming up after this word from Vivid Seats. Now, with the safe return of live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats, I was choked to death right there. My God.
Help me.
It's been a long 12 hours here, all this Notre Dame news. My throat's sore right now. It's a lot going on. But I still have the energy to go to a live event. And with Vivid Seats, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you got to do, collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer your favorite team from the stands. And do it without choking on your own tongue. Vivid Seats. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. Hopefully, I live till the next segment here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
kids who have cancer.
One hope.
We hope his treatment is working. We just hope.
One mission.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join us in the V Foundation in the fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate today. This is ESPN Radio.
Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Kenny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Today is Giving Tuesday here at ESPN. And if you are able to join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research, you can give by going to V.org/donate now. And Gojo, it's obvious like today is one of those days where we got to highlight the work that the V Foundation does in battling cancer, cancer research, and how it impacts not only people that are in the ESPN family, but people around this country and around the world. And for everybody, this is one of those days where you want to encourage folks to give whatever you can give to this worthy organization just because of the merits of the work that they actually do. It's amazing. It's inspirational. And we just want to continue to highlight that on this show.
We do. We're going to make no bones about it. This is about getting as much money as possible. So again, V.org/donate. We will continue to push that out, but we will also continue to do the show for you guys because it is Tuesday around here. And as we know, Tuesday also means it is time for us to look back before we can go forward. Let's give you the top five, bottom five from week 12 in the NFL.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5. Number 5.
Let's go! I'm in charge of the Top 5 this week, and we got Mike in the gutter later on, but I want to get it going with Joe Mixon. That's right. Running back for the Cincinnati Bengals, who's quietly having one of the best seasons of his career. The guy rushed for 28 times for 165 yards and two TDs against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It ain't the steel curtain no more with that Pittsburgh defense, and Joe Mixon proved that by routinely hitting his head on the goalpost on Sunday in Cincinnati. So, Joe Mixon, you got to give a shout-out for what you're doing on the field. Also got to give you a shout-out for what you're doing in the end zone, because if any of you haven't been paying attention, Joe Mixon is channeling his inner Chad Ochocinco with some of the dances that he does after he scores touchdowns. Got to give a shout-out to him for that. He had the Temptations on display on Sunday afternoon. That was pretty cool group celebration. Let's keep it moving, Devin, my dude. Let's get to number four.
Number four.
All right, number four, and Mike, I want you to react after I say what I got to say, but you know this is the weekly installment of Mac who?
Mac Jones.
You already know the most productive outing that he's had on the season so far. 23 of 32 for 310 yards. The most important thing for me is the evolution of Mac Jones as a downfield passer. In this game against the Titans, he was 6 for 11 for 110 yards and a touchdown on throws beyond 10 yards, including a 38-yard bomb to Jacoby Myers that led to a field goal. So we got to start giving Mac Jones his props. This is the second highest passer rating that he's posted on the season so far, and he extends the Patriots' winning streak to 6 against the team that had the best record in the conference in Tennessee. So, Mike, we got to start giving this guy his props. Saying he's a game manager feels a little bit disrespectful in terms of his impact on his team winning.
Listen, I believe in the Patriots now. I'm fully with you on that. But Mac Jones is still a game manager, and that is not a four-letter word. All right, there are plenty of perfectly good. I have met a lot of good game managers in my day here. They're great people. Mac's a great person. We don't got to make it something it's not. Not yet. I'm not. Maybe next week.
But wow. There you go, man. Give that man his flowers, man. Stop doing. Give him his flowers. But anyway, I digress. Let's keep it moving, Devin. Let's go to number three.
Number three.
Now, you've heard this name before, but this is just the next version, and that would be Pat Surtain II. Two interceptions off of Justin Herbert on Sunday's win against the Los Angeles Chargers, 28-13. It was really a game that they dominated from start to finish. And Pat Surtain had two picks. He housed one for 70 yards for a touchdown. That came midway through the fourth quarter, and that put the finishing touches on the dub for the Broncos. So it was a division opponent. It was a big game because the Broncos could go either way at 500. And now we're looking at Denver as a team that's trying to pry their way into the playoff picture. And right now, Patrick Surtain II is a big reason why that Broncos defense didn't fall off a cliff when they decided to move on from Von Miller. So got to give a shout out to him because that dude is balling. He has a maturity in playing the cornerback position beyond his years. And you got to attribute a lot of that to his pops, making sure that he was ready to ball as soon as he stepped foot on an NFL field.
Vic Fangio has to be so thrilled that despite who's ever in at quarterback, no matter if Teddy goes down, Drew Lock's been in there, that defense has been able to carry a lot of the load this season.
No doubt. Let's keep it moving. Number two, Leonard Fournette. Yes, Leonard Fournette. Playoff Lenny makes the rare regular season appearance, and it happens in week 12 going up against the Indianapolis Colts, when they have arguably the best running back in the National Football League, Jonathan Taylor, who leads the league in rush yards and yards from scrimmage. Leonard Fournette didn't only show up to the show, but he stole the show to the tune of four touchdowns, three rushing, one receiving. But the one that capped it was the 28-yard run in the fourth quarter that ended up being the go-ahead score for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Can't say enough about what this team has become. And we realize around this time of the year, that Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense morphs from a pass-heavy offense to a run-centric offense that's complemented by play-action passing. And I feel like they're about to start that trend this year again, Gojo. And it's going to go through number 7, Leonard Fournette.
It looked familiar. Like, I've been waiting for this version of the Bucs to show up for so long this season, Chris, especially because we know it was that steady formula that helped get them that Lombardi trophy. So I believe Rob Gronkowski has redubbed him Lombardi Lenny, and that definitely shined through this last weekend.
I like the new nickname, Lombardi Lenny. That seems fitting because that's all he does is run for touchdowns and leads his team to championship-level football. But let's keep it moving. Number one this week. Let's go.
Number one.
It has to be Matt LaFleur, right? Mm. It has to be. Going up against Sean McVay, somebody that he knows really well, somebody that he was actually once upon a time on a coaching staff with, being able to out-coach him in every phase of the game. Offense, defense, special teams, didn't matter. Packers players were routinely in better positions than the Rams players. And Matt LaFleur, after losses, you might want to start betting on this guy because he is absolutely money. He is a perfect 9-0 since taking over as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And the thing that really stood out to me in this game, Gojo, is that we know Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in all of football. And a lot of people argue that Davante Adams is the best receiver. And we were expecting to see a lot more of that head-to-head matchup, and we didn't. And you know why we didn't? Because Matt LaFleur did a great job of moving Davante Adams around in the formations and making sure that he isolated him on advantageous matchups, preferable matchups, and Davante Adams exploited that to the tune of 8 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown. So, like, this is one of those situations where coaching actually matters, and you felt like the Packers players were in better positions throughout the entirety of that game than the Rams players, and that's ultimately what led to the outcome and what happened to be a statement win for the Green Bay Packers.
There's no doubt. The shots in that game of a frustrated Jalen Ramsey watching Davante Adams motion across the field to one of his lesser defensive back counterparts and get ready to eat was very exciting to watch because you're right. It's one of the very few times you can see coaching having that real effect on the field. That is the top five from week 12. I'll get you guys caught up on the bottom five coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, we want to hear from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on everything we've seen in college football. Because coming up next, as Brian Kelly departed South Bend for Baton Rouge this morning, we'll head into another round of meetings that could have been emails next on ESPN Radio.
I'm still here. I'm fighting. I'm not losing. But I gotta amend that. When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
I never imagined that I'd be able to be standing here 20 years after Jimmy V's speech and say that because of all the donations, research, and support, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
Kenny and Golda Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golda Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you just heard the speech from Robin Roberts talking about her journey, her battle with cancer, and so many people that are impacted with that throughout the company, throughout ESPN. And today is Giving Tuesday at ESPN, and we want to encourage everybody to support the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can give by going to v.org/donate right now. And Gojo, the work that they do is so important, and we just want to continue to highlight that and continue to encourage folks to be a part of the solution, be a part of helping to battle this terrible disease here today.
Yep, fight it with dollars, fight it with time, fight it any way that you have at your disposal. But I think we all want to be a part of the solution because we know no one gets through this without being touched by cancer in one way, shape, or form. And we want to make sure as it goes along, we get more stories like the ones we've heard today from Rod Gilmore, from Shelley Smith, from everyone that we've gotten to talk to about how this research has been able to positively affect and save lives in so many of these instances. So again, v.org/donate is where you can go. 100% of every dollar, every cent donated is going to go directly towards cancer research, and that is the important part here. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. Reminder, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by Supercuts, download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily wherever you enjoy your podcasts. We know the news of the day has been Brian Kelly, the former Notre Dame head coach, taking his talents to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's the new head coach at LSU. And we want to hear from you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, on what this means for Notre Dame and for college football. Let's go to Justin from Illinois on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Justin, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Oh, great. Hey, my mom is a breast cancer survivor, and I can't wait to donate more to the V Foundation. Great organization. But let me just say, you were talking about, you know, coaches that are leaving and meetings that could be emails. Nobody really talks about it anymore, but what about how Rich Rodriguez left West Virginia? I mean, there was nothing. He left in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we've seen plenty of this right through college football, Chris, because everyone's been focused on what happened today. Brian Kelly brought his team in for a 7 o'clock a.m. local meeting, apparently only spoke for about 2 minutes. Reports said that he didn't take questions, and then the whole thing lasted about 11 minutes before the team was dismissed and Brian Kelly took off for Baton Rouge. And I really look at this, Chris, and I say, yeah, we've seen instances like that with Rich Rod before. We've seen plenty of coaches leave before people thought that it was acceptable, not tell people in the right amount of time. I don't think there's a right way to really do this, Chris. Everyone involved knows the drill. No questions and no amount of protest was going to change what was happening in this situation. And so while it's unfortunate because there's a lot of collateral in this, like, again, I went through a coaching change. There are a lot of people whose lives get changed based off one decision, support staff, training staff, the players involved, coaches. But at the end of the day, there's no right way to do this when we understand what the draw is on the other side.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And college football operates like a business now more so than it ever did, even with players getting involved with NIL and the transfer portal and the one-time transfer rule. So there is an element of player mobility. So if you don't like your current circumstance, you have the chance to be able to move around, similarly to what coaches do. And so it feels like it's a little more level playing field when it comes to that. The thing that strikes me as a little bit odd with this situation is Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame with the motivation clearly being having an opportunity to compete for a national championship consistently. And it just feels like his team is on the eve of having that same opportunity that he's actually leaving Notre Dame in order to accomplish. Like, this is a team that's got five teams of them likely when the college football playoff rankings are going to be released later on. And you're, with the exclusion of Georgia, I mean, those other four teams that are playing on conference championship weekend, if two of them lose, then Notre Dame undoubtedly will be in the Final Four. So your team likely has a chance to backdoor their way into the college football playoff, and you're two wins away from being able to accomplish the goal that you ultimately want to achieve, which is winning a chip. So I, that's the part that doesn't make sense to me. Even though Brian Kelly might not be bullish on the current team that he has, you still have a chance to compete for a national title this year, and you're leaving those kids high and dry under those circumstances. That seems like it's foul.
Let's stick with that, because we've got the next round of the college football playoff rankings coming up tonight. How does what we've seen in this coaching cycle affect what happens with the playoff next?